Hi, this is a new installment of Flamenco Today,
a series of podcasts created by Margaret Hova
and José Luis Greco, which are associated with the Spanish Dance and Flamenco Choreography Competition and are available on our website, certamenflamenco.com,
and on my YouTube channel as well as other podcast platforms.
Our idea is to interview renowned and upcoming performers and choreographers,
as well as musicians and composers of the Spanish dance world.
We interviewed Alfonso Loza in the Amor de Dios studios, the historic Amor de Dios studios. They're not in the original place on the calle Amor de Dios, but almost. They're above the market on Don Martin. But it is very iconic for those of us in the flamenco world. And big, vast studios, lots of light, and kind of dusty, and lined with posters from every dancer imaginable. And lots of photographs by Elke Stoltenberg, who is an interesting, iconic photographer from the 60s, 70s, 80s. Anyhow, it was a very rainy day, and it was a delight to talk with Alfonso, who I have known since he was 14 years old, the first time he was presented in the certamen. That would have been in the early 90s. And I have seen Alfonso develop into such a mature, thoughtful artist that it really touches my heart, since I have known him since he was such a young, pink-faced, not quite fully developed boy at 14. But already dancing like hell. It was a wonderful conversation, no, José Luis?
Yeah.
We saw together his piece in Jerez, no?
Yes, that was actually a couple of years later, I think, or a year later after the interview. And I was very impressed. I thought it was the best thing that we saw on the festival. The piece Alter Ego, which he talks about in the interview with Patricia
Guerrero.
Yeah.
But this interview we did before he had actually premiered the piece.
And we started by asking him about his beginnings.
Bueno, pues nada, soy Alfonso Loza, bailarín, bailaor de flamenco, artista, enamorado de la danza. Y bueno, mis principios en la danza pues fueron de una manera natural.
I'm Alfonso Loza, dancer, flamenco dancer, artist in love with the dance. My beginnings in dance were very natural. I started in the local gym community center in the town where I was born. There we learned ballet, flamenco, tap, martial arts, a very multi-purposed school. Then my father brought me to Madrid and I began to dance with Rafael de Córdoba, my first teacher.
Y a partir de ahí, pues ya pues me encontré en una situación en la que te muestran tú solo en el mundo y ahí ya tienes un poco que ubicarte dentro de...
From then on, I found myself in a position of being on my own and having to find my place in the world of your chosen profession, which is very complicated. Because normally, there's no one who can point out that place to you. And that was the moment that flamenco became my passion and I started going to the Amor de Dios studios, where I dedicated countless hours to studying and practicing, dedicated to my career. Another important thing was seeing Joaquín Cortés's show Pasión Gitana.
De pasión, ¿cuál era? Pasión Gitana, ¿no? Ese espectáculo, pues claro, a mí, yo creo que es muy, por eso creo que es tan importante la acción escénica, ¿no? Porque al final siempre hay un momento en el que te capta, en mi caso como artista, pero en caso de la gente como público, como...
That show for me showed me the importance of seeing live performances. There's always a moment that it grabs you, not only me as an artist, but the audience as well. And that is because of the power of live theater.
So those were my beginnings. But among them was also the certamen de coreografía. At 14, I had the opportunity to see what the certamen stood for, to see so many great artists. I was coming from the academic environment of Rafael de Córdoba, and my perspective suddenly expanded drastically. I remember there was Carlos Rodríguez with Miguel Ángel Rojas at the time, Najarro as well. Of course, that was an explosion for me. I thought, this is amazing.
Con Miguel Ángel Rojas. Y claro, eso para mí fue un boom. Yo cuando vi eso dije, pero ¿esto qué es? Sí, Ricardo Franco representó para mí también, fue un gran... grandísimo maestro, porque no solamente iba con la coreografía de Ricardo, que también luego estuve trabajando en su compañía, una compañía que en aquella época era muy muy buena, una compañía referente dentro del sector. No solamente fue eso, sino que también era mi maestro de ballet. Yo iba a clase con
Ricardo Franco. Was for me a great teacher. Not only did I learn his choreographies, I danced in his company, which for that time was a very good company. But he was also my ballet teacher. I remember that Ángel Correia was also in his class. I used to watch him to see how he did the steps. Ricardo has always had a great presence in the dance world. He's very flexible, very intelligent, hard worker, but with a tremendous capacity for teaching. Not only dance, but also those matters tangential to dance, how to make decisions. It was a whole education. At that time, at the age I was, that was very important. So yes, I danced in Ricardo Franco's choreography for the certamen, and we won a prize. I was 16. What I feel I got from that period of my life, what Ricardo gave us, was to be able to dream, to hope, the excitement of creating, of progressing, to be conscious of what's around you, to do something that goes beyond what was already done, with the awareness of the evolution of the dance, of flamenco, that kind of excitement, to feel the commitment of pursuing your artistic career, not as a product, but rather a sincere development as an artist.
Esa ilusión, ¿no? De pegarnos ese compromiso para seguir trabajando en la carrera artística, pero no como producto artístico, sino como desarrollo sincero de un artista.
Alfonso talked about his first professional experiences when he worked with several companies, and really between the ages, say, 16 and 22. And that was very interesting.
Bueno, pues yo con de los 16 a los 22 años ocurrieron muchísimas cosas. Muchísimas cosas en las que, bueno, tuve la oportunidad de trabajar con Ricardo en su compañía.
Between the ages of 16 and 22, many things happened. I had the opportunity of working with many companies: Belén Maya, Beatriz Martín, Javier Barón, Grillo, top-notch artists. I was in the core of the company and had an occasional solo. But being very young, I'd watched them and learned so much. I was in Guito's company, Manoleta's company. Then I later had the opportunity to dance with Manuela Carrasco. She called me to be in her company in Sevilla. That period was a watershed moment for me, a period of 4 or 5 years in which I had something like 2 previous generations around me to learn from. That was incredible. After that, in 2000, I started with my own company with a show called Candela in the Madrid and Danza Festival, a show of big proportions, so big that I ended up with debts.
Un espectáculo se llama Candela en Madrid en Danza, y un espectáculo de grandísimo formato. Imagínate si era tan grande el formato que al final me quedé con una deuda. Luego ya derivó todo en una cosa un poco más individual, ¿no? Menos coreográfica, formatos más pequeños, porque también el momento social era lo que requería.
Later came a tendency on a more individual level, less choreographic, smaller formats. It's what the social moment dictated. That seemed to be what everyone was doing. No more large companies. This was around 2004. The younger generations also missed out on the experience I've been explaining of learning directly from the scenic action as manifested by the older generations.
Esa opción que yo estoy explicando justo en esa época de poder aprender directamente de la acción escénica y estar con ellos de las generaciones anteriores, ¿no? Pues yo creo que ahora mismo, actualmente, he vuelto a tener 16 años. Hace como, no es verdad, hace como, fíjate, yo creo que fue una consecuencia de la pandemia también, que lo que hizo fue parar un poco el impulso que teníamos yo creo que en general, ¿no? Pero personalmente a mí.
At the moment, I feel like I'm 16 again. I think it was the pandemic that was responsible for slowing down of things in general, and particularly for me, those things I had established. My work niche often won't let me stop. But now I get up early in the morning. My wife calls me a fruit vendor. I get up at 7 and go to my studio and work alone for 5 hours. I have a personal workout schedule, which I enjoy tremendously. It's really stimulating. I think that's important, that a dancer enjoy that process. Because if you don't enjoy it, you'll abandon it. It's like going to the gym. You can go for a while, but then you get bored. But if you enjoy the process or rehearsal in creating alone, without needing anyone else, that'll make you grow a lot. So I go there, and I have my method of improvising with music. And that means that at the hour of creating a show, ideas have been profoundly and organically developed.
Eso te va a hacer que crezcas mucho más como artista. Uh-huh. Y bueno, yo me pongo ahí, voy trabajando, hago metodologías de improvisación en el estudio con mis músicas. Y eso, pues claro, luego en el momento de hacer el espectáculo, pues se ven cosas que están trabajadas de otra manera, mucho más orgánica y muy, muy, muy trabajada.
We discussed his progress as a more mature artist and about his feelings, the advantages that he enjoyed at the time he was developing as opposed to the younger generations and what the experiences that they lack. So we asked him about his, not only about his development, but about what he's doing now and how he's developed his own methodology not only of creation, but a methodology of keeping in shape, of his workout schedule and so forth.
Pues era, hicimos Flamenco Espacio Creativo, ¿no? Que es un Flamenco Espacio Creativo, es el nombre del espectáculo, que bueno, que ha sido un espectáculo que realmente ha sido un antes y un después, venía generado de todo este proceso que te estaba explicando de salir de este momento que hemos vivido, de la pandemia, de salir con otra mentalidad.
We made the show called Flamenco, Espacio Creativo. A show that was another watershed moment for me. It came from the process I was describing, coming out of the pandemic, with the mentality of the pure enjoyment of dancing, to develop without any pretensions the paths of your artistic career to show what you really want to show. And on that path, I conversed with Rafael Estevez and Nani Paños. Well, actually, I called them. I wanted to share that experience with him and Concha Jareño. And it turned out to be a marvelous show, a decisive moment for me. From colleagues in every sector of the dance world, the show was greeted with enthusiasm and praise. After we did it in Jerez, where it won the Critics' Prize, we took it to Suma Flamenca, La Bienal de Sevilla, and some of the most important venues today. We went to the Albuquerque Festival in the States, in Nîmes, Mont-de-Marsan, Paris, very important, Italy, and so on. So it's been to all the most representative places, and it's been a success everywhere. I think the key to the show's success has been the pure pleasure it transmits of all the registers in dance. In this case, this was channeled through flamenco, because this is, after all, a flamenco show. But even so, the show includes a cornucopia of dance. It's what I learned as a child. I don't conceive flamenco as a purely flamenco language, because my language is broader than that. Having understood that, I'm able to bring together all these things.
Eso, disfrutar de todos los registros que tiene la danza y bueno, en este caso se han canalizado en el flamenco porque es un espectáculo flamenco, pero siendo un espectáculo flamenco hay muchísima danza porque es el vehículo, es lo que yo he aprendido desde chiquitito. O sea, yo no puedo hacer el flamenco simplemente con un lenguaje flamenco, porque mi lenguaje es otro también, ¿no? Entonces, haber entendido eso yo personalmente ha hecho que pueda juntarlo todo y poder hacer eso.
I was very curious. I even asked him a bit about it when I first arrived at the Amor de Dios Studios before you would arrive, Margaret, and I asked him, well, I mentioned to him that I was going to ask him about his relationship and the way of working with music and musicians. And this is what he had to say.
Bueno, yo creo que eso varía dependiendo qué trabajo, ¿no? Pero yo en concreto, el espectáculo Flamenco Espacio Creativo y el espectáculo Alter Ego, que es el que hemos hecho con ahora mismo, que acabo de estrenar con Patricia Guerrero, los músicos son los mismos. Es Fran Vinuesa en la guitarra, que es un grandísimo compositor, que ha estado, bueno, tiene una carrera muy extensa, ha estado con muchos artistas. Sandra Carrasco, que es un...
I think that depends on the work itself. In my case, the show Flamenco Espacio Creativo and the show Alter Ego, which you've just created and premiered with Patricia Guerrero, the musicians are the same. Fran Vinueso playing guitar, also a great composer who's had an extensive career. Sandra Carrasco, an otherworldly singer with a very strong personality. Ismael de la Rosa, El Bola, another very great singer. The way I work with the musicians is very methodical. I start with a lot of musical material because that the basis of almost all that I create is not so much the movement, although sometimes it is, but it's mostly rhythm. Almost everything I create comes from a rhythmic intention. And of course, the rhythmic intention then becomes an intention in movement. Otherwise it wouldn't be seen. So I start with a lot of material, of ideas, but then I have the possibility of counting on Fran, a musician very much of the moment. You can send anything at all to Fran and he'll consider it, but the way it works best is face to face. Look, I have this, and we begin trying things, see how this or that works. He proposes his own ideas. And the music starts developing that way in the studio. That's super interesting. I've never worked that way. But that's his way of creating. And in the end, the musical, rhythmic, and movement intentions are an organic whole. It's not, let's do this here because it seems to work, but rather a more natural way. For the last show, we did a technical residence in Torrox. Fantastic. 10 days, just Fran and I alone. A situation where no one bothers you, no calls. I think we created about 70% of the show's music there. But then we also did a technical residence in the Torrox Theater, together with Olga García, who was designing the lights, for 4 or 5 days. Pedro, who designed the sonic space, the whole team was there. That makes everything more productive. We also had the invaluable support and collaboration of Ana Morales. We created the show in a way that amazed me. As I was coming back on the train, I couldn't believe that in merely a week we created the show that way. That comes with having those tools, those opportunities.
Claro, ahí hizo el espectáculo así. Pero de una manera que yo no... Yo cuando venía para acá en el tren, yo no me lo creía. Yo digo, no puede ser que en una semana se haya elevado el espectáculo de aquí. Y es el proceso. Y es ese momento, y es eso. Es tener esas herramientas.
Well, Alfonso talked about this new phase that he's in, where he has embraced his training as a complete dancer with ballet, bass, folk dance, bass, as well as classical Spanish dance, escuela bolera, as well as flamenco. And he has incorporated all that into his new work, calling directors that will have an outside eye, like Rafael Estevez y Nani Paños, who helped him direct his previous piece, which is Flamenco Espacio Creativo.
Bueno, he trabajado de varias maneras, adaptándome yo a la música, pidiéndole la música, el concepto musical.
I work in a number of different ways. I can adapt myself to the music and the musical concept of the musician, a guitarist perhaps, like the one I used to work with, Paco Cruz, a great flamenco guitarist and composer. He gives his music, his concept to you, and you adapt yourself to that music. It's very interesting because you acquire a lot of information about his way of thinking, and that makes you grow artistically. But I don't think that way of working is something unified. It's the musician's concept, or at least my perception of it. or the other way around, taking as a point of departure what I want to do and adapting all the music to my vision. It's the same thing, but it's opposite. But this is different because it develops in a more fluid fashion. And for instance, the singing can be guided in one or another stylistic direction. In the case of Flamenco Espacio Creativo, it was Rafael Estevez. You could direct, but also allow freedom, as we did in Alter Ego, so that Sandra and Bola have the freedom to sing what they want, that they can decide, be in the moment, that they listen and think, oh, this is the right thing for this moment. That's creating, creating in a natural way.
Porque es crear, eso se está creando directamente de una manera natural.
Alfonso talked quite a bit about his new piece, Alter Ego, which he has created alongside Patricia Guerrero.
Sí, bueno, ahora vamos a ir a Jerez, también en Sevilla, en el, bueno, ahora lo están reubicando porque iba a ser Lope de Vega dentro de la ciudad.
Yes, now we're going to Jerez, the festival, then Sevilla, then London. I'm very happy because we've gone back to where the real flamenco people, the classic flamenco, those people have reacted wonderfully. But all the important figures in the dance world have also reacted very positively on a conceptual level. And this is also thanks to Patricia's dancing, her power on stage, and of course my part. The work creating and dancing the piece has been great, because it's all about trusting the other person, about sharing, and above all, about controlling the ego. That's something that's never easy. Patricia is a woman who has forged her own path, fought tooth and nail for her career, the same as I have. So after having followed your individual path, and then suddenly have to confront the yes or no's of another, but I'm very happy about the fact that she was able to imprint the show with her own personality. It isn't the same show I would have made on my own.
Que ella haya impuesto su personalidad dentro de este espectáculo, de la mía, ha llevado a que este espectáculo sea distinto. No es el espectáculo que yo hubiese creado solo.
We are also very curious about his having worked as a Madrid flamenco artist, and how he thought, or what he thought, the differences between Madrid flamenco and Andalusian flamenco.
Well, a lot of people who don't really know about flamenco in Spain think that all flamenco comes from Andalusia, and that's not the case. Flamenco is also made in Madrid and in Catalonia.
Pues yo creo que en ese sentido, hoy en día, y hoy en día, hablo de hoy en día y de hace ya muchos años, yo creo que...
Well, I think in that sense, that today, and for many years now, our differences are less and less. We're all from everywhere. We all work together. Many of the artists from Andalucía have spent a good deal of their careers dancing with us here in Madrid, in Tablaos. We Madrid artists have also spent a lot of time working with artists from Andalucía. In the end, we all learn from each other. We're nonetheless aware of the nuances and characteristics of the Andalusian flamenco, even the Catalan flamenco, the Madrid flamenco. There are many very lovely differences, and we all try to learn them, to dance them. But all the same, I do think differences exist. However, I'd say the differences are more in the music than in the dance. I think that what marks the difference, for instance, of Madrid's flamenco is its musical direction, which comes by way of guitarists like Ramón Jiménez, who worked with Antonio Canales. That left a legacy, a direction, that was very closely associated with Madrid. I think there is a great difference between the guitar playing of Madrid and that of Jerez than there is between the dancing style of Madrid and that of Jerez.
O sea, hay mucha más diferencia entre la guitarra de Madrid y la guitarra de Jerez que entre el baile de Madrid y el baile de Jerez.
We asked Alfonso to tell us about Veranos Flamencos, which is a summer course that he, alongside María Juncal, direct in the Amor de Dios studios the entire month of August, which has become amazingly successful.
Y bueno, empezó de una manera prácticamente de un hueco que se quedó libre dentro de Amor de Dios.
It started because a time and a space was left free at the Amor de Dios studios, and Joaquín, the owner of Amor de Dios, proposed we design a new and different kind of course. For 3 hours each day, we do heel work technique, choreography, arms and turns technique, a lot of emphasis on technique, which is not that usual in a flamenco course. We also have another hour with a guest teacher, which provides an opportunity to learn the different style of any of the guest artists we invite from other parts of Spain. But the main focus was a methodology which was very successful from the start. It's a course with a very professional focus, and those of us that organize it, professional flamenco dancers, make sure it follows that direction. It's not a commercial course, it's a professional course.
Y las personas que lo organizamos somos dos bailarines, dos bailadores flamencos que lo organizamos desde esa dirección, ¿no? No es un curso comercial, es un curso profesional.
And naturally the subject of tablaos, or the flamenco clubs, came up. And we were curious to know what he thought or what he felt about dancing in tablaos and whether or not he still did dance in tablaos.
I saw him dance in Las Carboneras with Olga Pericet a few years ago. It was amazing.
Actualmente menos, porque como estoy trabajando de una manera muy organizada, me refiero a mi cuerpo.
At the moment, since I'm working out in a very organized way, I start at 6 in the morning with ballet, movement practice, warm up my heel work, etc. So by the time I actually start dancing, I've prepared sufficiently. But at a tablao, you don't have the opportunity to warm up. And since I have a very energetic, aggressive way of dancing, if I worked for a month at a tablao, I'd have to go immediately to the physiotherapist. But yes, I do like working in tablaos. I think it's very important. It's a way of connecting with the essence of what we're doing in flamenco. You have to have the conversation, otherwise you lose the essence. One thing is what you do in your shows, marvelous as it may be, but you have to also keep that connection. I dance at the Corral de la Morería, more recently also at Cardamomo. Yes, there it's a good way to connect to the more traditional musical style. It's like going back to being 18 or 19 years old again on a conceptual level. I like having that connection.
Entonces como de repente pasar a los 18 años, a los 19 años, ¿no? A nivel conceptual. Y me gusta también tener esa conexión.
Alfonso talked about his kind of renewed interest in folk escuela bolera and how he's kind of incorporating that into his idiom of creation.
Yo vengo de Hungría, yo vengo de Hungría.
Sí, bueno, estoy muy interesado y muy inquieto.
Right now, I'm very interested in a path started in Flamenco Espacio Creativo, that of a way of blending Spanish folk dancing with flamenco. Not just doing folk on one hand and flamenco on the other, but rather trying to find a language in which the character of the folk dancing remains, but is danced with shoes, mechanisms and rhythms of flamenco. That's what I'm working on now. With Patricia as well, we've created a lovely number which starts out as an Alegrías and ends up being a Sevillanas. But it has a folklore character, includes a Jota. It's very interesting. It's the last number of the work, representing the fusion of these two elements.
Pero bueno, eso hay que recuperarlo y lo suyo sería recuperarlo a nivel global.
The thing is that it should go back to being present in the repertoire. That's what I think should happen. I think both the traditional dances and new creations of folk dancing should become part of the repertoire of what is being done today. If you aren't forced to learn a folk dance because it isn't in a show you're doing, you never learn it.
Si no hay presencia de ese repertorio, la gente no quiere aprenderlo. Si tú no tienes luego una representación en X ballet del folclore impuesta, pues entonces no lo aprendes. Y además, me gusta el hecho de que estén en los tablaos porque se están fusionando con el flamenco, con el...
And I like the way that in the tablaos, folk dances are being fused with flamenco. I feel it acquires a new personality. The artist, in this case, a woman, is improvising because the singer that's just arrived doesn't know the dance. So that encounter of flamenco and folk improvisation is happening now. We'll have to see where it goes, but right now I like it a lot because it has a unique energy.
Se convierte, ¿no? Pero a mí por ahora me gusta mucho porque ya digo tiene otra energía. Tiene otra distinta, ¿no? Otra energía.
Cuando ya nadie se acuerde de ti.
And to wrap things up, we asked him about questions of the future, how he sees his legacy, what he thinks is important to hand down to future generations, and how he sees what he's doing now in relation to the future of flamenco.
Y la ilusión de ayer.
Yo quisiera decir, porque yo siempre... Siempre que hablo algo, lo hablo con el corazón y con la intención de que pueda ser algo válido, sobre todo para...
What I'd like to say, like always, is from my heart, and hoping that it might be of value to the coming generations, which for me is the most important, that commitment to the future. I encourage them to put their minds and hearts in their authentic artistic development, rather than in the artistic product, because there are artistic products everywhere right now, and yes, some of them are very good, but authentic artistic careers where one feels the pleasure of one's own art, what one achieves or believes they can achieve with utmost effort, that is much more enriching, and it gives you a lifelong legacy which you can enjoy without worrying about being artistically more or less worthy. I think that kind of reflection is important for a young dancer when deciding to enter into an artistic career.
Sería importante que yo la vivo y la siento así, que ellos la tuviesen en su cabeza a la hora de decidir, ¿no?
En mi pecho instalado un altar.
José Luis, you know that Alter Ego went on to have an enormous success in Jerez, won again with the Critics' Prize, and then it's been taken again on world tours. I know that in the last Flamenco Festival in New York, just a few months ago, they had a smash hit in City Center in New York.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I remember, as I said before, that it was the best thing that I think we saw in that particular festival. I mean, not only was it the best thing, but I mean, it's one of the most personal and unique things I've seen. And it's just two dancers, and yet they carry more than an hour and a quarter, I think, the show lasts. And it's just mesmerizing. And it's also unusual because flamenco has very often turned into a kind of anecdotal storytelling ballets, and this was absolutely abstract in a sense. I mean, you could imagine all kinds of relationship between Alfonso and Patricia, but it was all in your imagination and your own mind. I mean, it was absolutely quite breathtaking, quite mesmerizing.
Wonderful, yeah, absolutely. And of course, Patricia is a tremendous artist in her own right. She just won the Premio Nacional de Danza a year ago, I think, as well as being the present director of the Ballet Flamenco de Andalucía, and really being quite a powerhouse, a beautiful woman and a beautiful dancer. Well, when we finished the interview, it was still raining, and José Luis and I wandered out back into Plaza Antón Martín, and I certainly remembered my youth, my arrival in Madrid 40 years ago, and taking class in the original Amor de Dios, feeling really kind of touched and nostalgic and almost overwhelmed by the years, the passage of time, and the history of dance and flamenco, and how I have taken part in a small way in all of that.
All the musical excerpts heard on this podcast are from the different shows of the artists interviewed.